This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It's 8:36 a.m. Monday. It's not Monday, Wednesday, the 6th of May. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Aaron Connolly, a research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies, on how US-China relations are faring amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. But right now, we're taking a look at how the markets are doing this morning.
Well, for Asia, the Nikkei 225 Japan is still close at the moment. They are, you know, seem to be enjoying what I think they call the, is it Golden Week or something like that? Because they're mm-hmm. close for the Constitutional Memorial Day. So South Korea's Kospi is open this morning. It's up 1%. And Australia is actually down almost 1%. But the US markets had a pretty good day, although it closed almost half from the gain from the top of the market, from the highs, excuse me. So the Dow closed up 0.6%, S&P 500 closed 0.9%, while the Nasdaq closed up 1.1%. Now, markets took a bit of a correction on the back of Fed Vice Chairman Richard Clarida saying that more government support was probably going to be needed for the US economy. So kind of as a result, markets kind of retreated a little bit.
Yeah, so there's been some excitement in markets recently. And overall, this performance by the US is pretty good considering, I think, the sea of red that we were seeing just 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Yeah, I think, but there's always this, you know, issue about the disconnect, right, between what is the economic mm-hmm. reality versus what's happening on the markets, right? And on top of it, you know, the question about guidance, because that's no longer happening. Lots of companies are actually withdrawing guidance, which has been something that equity analysts have been so used to mm-hmm. having.
Absolutely. So this morning, so for some more market insights, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Hanley, a senior market analyst at Owanda. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jeffrey.
Now, and good morning.
Good morning. So more and more companies are now withdrawing guidance. So what does this mean for markets? How do we forecast earnings, which is so much part of buying equities?
Yeah, it's made things very difficult. But I think when we look on the bigger picture, the markets are actually concentrating on the return to some sort of normalcy, normalcy of life from the COVID-19 lockdowns. And so the concentration on earnings is not so heavy at the moment. I think markets have gone, okay, this is going to be a terrible year for companies. When are we going to start getting back to real life again? And this is what's been driving this momentum, particularly this week in equity markets and increasing this disconnect. We're seeing coronavirus lockdowns eased or shut down around the world this week and next week. And that has given this momentum to equity markets.
Meanwhile, you know, the US-China trade war, which we almost seem to have forgotten about, is back in the news. So do you think what's the impact of this for Southeast Asia, for, you know, countries like Malaysia?
Yeah, well, I was actually just writing about this morning, going how dysfunctional financial markets have become, and that not one of the press have actually mentioned this trade war today, yet it was full of in all the papers and all the media outlets yesterday. So well done for picking up on it. I think this is a real threat moving into the latter part of the year, and the reason why is because it's quite clear that Donald Trump wants to get re-elected. And, you know, bashing China could be his election platform for good or for bad. Clearly, markets such as Australia, which is extremely resource dependent, Singapore, which is a very open trading nation, to a lesser extent, Indonesia and Malaysia, because they have diversified their export markets for their primary products and for their higher end exports. So Malaysia itself exports a lot to the United States and to India, for example, and is not so dependent on China. But definitely it would suffer, but not to the degree that it has in the past.
And meanwhile, if we look at currencies, right, we have noticed, especially against the ringgit, the US dollar has somewhat retreated. What's your outlook for the ringgit and even for the rest of the regional currencies?
The ringgit looks set to move back below 4.3 most likely this morning, and could test back down towards sort of the 4.15, 4.20 by the end of the week. I think although the emerging markets have been a bit under pressure over the last few days, we are going to see for the rest of the week a more positive environment. We do have China and South Korea back today. Japan is back tomorrow. So a lot of those big markets are back at work today. So I would expect to see regional currencies and the ringgit perform better than they did last week.
And oil prices continue to rise. Is this bullish trend a result of the production cuts that came into effect last week?
No, I think this is more a case of the world trying to pick the low of the coronavirus sort of recession and piling into reflation trades, recovery trades. We saw Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs overnight, for example, saying that they felt the bottom was in place for the economic slowdown because of coronavirus. That's given some momentum to equities, but also to oil. I think that what we're seeing here is purely driven by the fact that lockdowns are being eased, and that should increase oil consumption, and the hopes that we are going to start seeing the first signs of an economic recovery. It's not necessarily the production cuts themselves, although they will help in the background.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Jeffrey. That was Jeffrey Halley, a senior market analyst at Owanda, giving us a bit of insight into the markets, mentioning the fact that oil has extended gains into a sixth day. So he thinks that this is basically other countries jumping on the low price bandwagon. And we have also this morning had some earnings out of the US because Disney posted a loss of as much as $1.4 billion last quarter. Now, this $1 billion also came, this alone actually came from its theme parks being shuttered due to COVID-19.
Now, revenue did rise 21% to $18 billion, but that was due to the acquisition of this 21st Century Fox Entertainment asset last year. Now, their CEO did say they are encouraging signs in China because the resort and also the theme park will reopen next week in Shanghai. But nearly every other aspect of their business has been hit. Ad slump and a dearth of live sport impacts the companies it owns, which includes ABC and ESPN. Now, of course, film studios have come to a grinding halt. They have been unable to be shown movies in theatres since mid-March. And Disney Plus, which is clearly their bright spot at this moment, has reached 54 million subscribers at a faster pace than expected. But I doubt they're making much money. And Disney also has cruise ships, which clearly aren't going anywhere at this moment, right? Because nobody wants to take a cruise anywhere. So they're a bit of a tight spot. And as long as their theme parks don't open, the film studios don't open, the outlook isn't so bright for them.
Now, just very quickly as well, in another earnings name that I noticed was Beyond Meat, which was, I think, the darling of last year when it IPO'd. So they have posted quarterly revenues of $97 million, beating analyst estimates. But the 141% growth rate, say that again, 141% growth rate.
Low base, dear, low
base.
Yeah,
it's also still the slowest pace in 2 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Wasn't Beyond Meat at one point trading at a forward PE of 400 times
yes,
or something?
Something like that. But, you know, they are also still impacted because half of their sales, it comes from restaurants. You know, so as we know, almost every restaurant is closed. Or even if it is, it's only open for takeaways. So business, of course, across the board is much slower. You know, so the rise in their supermarket sales haven't been enough to outweigh the decline in restaurant sales. But on the plus side, their company did say they're not experiencing any supply chain disruptions. However, like most companies now in the US, they have suspended their 2020 outlook until further notice.
And speaking of the US, next up, we're going to be speaking with Aaron Connolly, research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies, on how US-China relations are faring amidst this COVID-19 pandemic. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.